Good morning and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus as we seek to worship our God together. And we give thanks for the great blessing of being able to gather together and encourage one another in his service. Please bear with me as I mention a number of details in particular this morning. There are a number of notices printed out for you, and I would urge you to make use of those. Get them in your diaries, the relevant dates and so on. Particularly this week, during the holiday time and the effects that that has, there will be no Wednesday meeting, but God willing to meet again. I want to make prayer a particular focus of this congregation, and so already on 2nd of January to meet, there will be a meeting for prayer available. There are also dates now provided to begin with for the Bible studies on the Fridays, the new scheme. Details, time and venue will follow very soon. There'll be no Sunday school this morning, but with that in mind, for the young people, though you are growing up, I would ask your parents to keep an eye on you, just make sure that you're going about things safely and so on. So please, parents, do bear that in mind. A number of things that are available for you now. New issues of the missionary prayer notes, all on the back table, the record, the main magazine, and also the children's magazine, The Instructor. Plenty of those at the back, and please do use them. I didn't remember to announce this a couple of weeks ago when I was here, but a DVD of psalm singing and other connected items from Dundee, Robert Murray McShane and so on. These are going free. I have one left, but we can get more. A couple of people did take them last time, and please do ask me for this one and ask me for more if you're interested. Also free, I have a couple of calendars sent to me just the other day from Ray Chaplin, and they're remembering us every week in prayer, and we treasure that friendship that we have with them, and let's remember them in our prayers as well. But please do pick up a calendar to remember them as well. And then lastly, and I urge you to pick up a copy of this Try Praying booklet. It's just there by the offering plate in the visitor's book. Pick it up. It's free. Pick up a couple. They were initially produced to provide for, if you like, an outreach, an evangelistic thing. It's say to people, if life is an issue, try praying. Try it. Make an attempt. Try praying. But there's a lot that's very useful even for your own prayer life. So please pick up one for yourself at least, and one to hand on to somebody else along the way. So thanks very much to Donald Matheson for arranging that. It's wonderful to have you with us and other visitors and returnees. Good to have you in fellowship with us this morning. And pray God's blessing as we join together in his worship. And it is for his worship that we come together today. Having said that, one person I need to draw attention to, Saturday, 29th, Fionn, I believe, has a birthday. So we wish you well for the day and the family, and congratulations. 12, I think, on Saturday. Yes, Saturday? Okay. But we worship our God as did the ancient saints. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. As we seek his strength, let us turn to his praise, and we open with Psalm 148 on page 194. We'll sing the whole psalm. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise him from heaven's height. All angels, give him praise. Praise him, you hosts of light. Praise him, sun, moon, and stars on high, you highest heavens and cloudy sky. then also creation, including man, all nations and earth's kings, young men and maidens too, children and old men. The Lord's great name by them be praised, his name alone on high is raised. And so on through, from the beginning to the end of the psalm, 148. Let's stand to sing, and we'll stay standing after that to pray together.
Praise, oh praise the Lord, praise Him all heaven's high, all angels give Him praise, praise Him your hosts of light, praise Him sun, moon and stars on high, you
together. And we would offer our thanks, O Lord, that you should call us to your praise. We come together today from many different walks of life, even this morning, the different circumstances from which we have gathered together. We give thanks for the encouragement that we receive from the moment we meet again, and that we have the blessing of upholding one another. But we acknowledge, O Lord, that this is by the working of your Spirit. Therefore, we thank you. We thank you for your provision and care for us through the circumstances of the past week, especially many days before that. We return the praise to you, O Lord, as the one who does uphold all things, having set all things in their place. We praise you, O Lord, for the great works that you have accomplished through creation, but also bringing about a new creation. Where man has sinned against you, we have sinned, O Lord. We have brought things low. We have harmed. We have disturbed. We have soiled. We have sinned. We pray your forgiveness. We ask that you will fulfill that word, that you will set our sins far behind you and look upon us instead in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, your own beloved Son. We praise you especially for your new creation, your salvation, your redemption in him. These things are beyond imagining. These things are beyond every mind except yours. But you have accomplished what is otherwise beyond us, beyond all other creatures. You have become one with us in the person of Jesus. We return our humble thanks for him and for your great plan of salvation, which has been accomplished. We ask that this might be our courage and our strength as we go on into today, into our daily lives, whatever you have appointed for us, that we will hold fast to him as the one who is to be desired, the one who is our hope and our light and our life. So we ask, Lord, that you would grant blessing in these things today, that our hearts will be renewed in him and your spirit. We pray that we will have the renewed desire for our Lord and to hold fast to him in every day that lies before us. We pray, Lord, that you would accept us now and hear us under the name of your Son. According to your promises, we can hold nothing before you except your own word, that word of great grace and mercy. Do lead us in all that we would seek to do. And as we open your word in so many different ways, may it be a rich blessing to us, to dwell in us richly, that we might know the ways of your peace. Accept us, O Lord, from whatever the condition of our hearts and our lives, that we might be found in the Lord Jesus, in your sight. For your own name's sake we pray. Receive our praise. Amen. We are accustomed at this point to, at times, to take a reading from the law of God, at other times to make confession of faith. When we confess our faith, commonly we have used what's known as the Apostles' Creed. This morning, and particularly bearing in mind what is ahead of us on Tuesday, I want to take what is called the Nicene Creed because of its particular statements regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. That in particular will let us also find that great value in confessing faith in these words. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. May God grant blessing on that confession as we share together. Now let us turn for our first Bible reading And we continue our readings in the book of Exodus this morning at chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29 from the beginning. Exodus 29. And this is what you shall do to them to hallow them for ministering to me as priests. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You shall make them of wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the intricately woven band of the ephod. You shall put the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. You shall also have the bull brought before the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. You shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger and pour all the blood beside the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, and burn them on the altar. But the flesh of the bull with its skin and its offal you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. You shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it all around on the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails and its legs, and put them with its pieces and with its head, and you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. You shall also take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments, on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him. And he and his garments shall be hallowed, and his sons' garments with him. Also you shall take the fat of the ram, the fat tail, the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys, and the fat on them, the right thigh, for it is a ram of consecration. One loaf of bread, one cake made with oil, and one wafer from the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And you shall put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons, and you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. You shall receive them back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. And from the ram of the consecration you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering which is waved, and the thigh of the heave offering which is raised, of that which is for Aaron and of that which is for his sons. It shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by a statute forever, for it is a heave offering. It shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, that is, their heave offering to the Lord. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him. to be anointed in them and to be consecrated in them. That son who becomes priest in his place shall put them on for 7 days when he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister in the holy place. And you shall take the ram of the consecration and boil its flesh in the holy place. Then Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. They shall eat those things with which the atonement was made, to consecrate and to sanctify them. But an outsider shall not eat them, because they are holy. And if any of the flesh of the consecration offerings, or of the bread, remains until the morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. Thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons, according to all that I have commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them, and you shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for atonement. You shall cleanse the altar when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar must be holy. We read just so far. There in the consecration of the priests, consecrated, set apart for the service of God, the way, the mediation role that they had, holy to the Lord through the sacrifice and the sprinkling of blood, clear pointers to our Lord Jesus Christ and his giving of himself. So far, may God bless his word as we share it together. Let us make our response by turning to sing together now in Psalm 66, page 83. Psalm 66, and we'll sing the verses marked 1 through to 9. Psalm 66, 1 to 9, page 83. Shout loud with joy to God. All earth, your chorus raise, sing loud the honour of his name, and glorious make his praise. Though we are sinners, he has made a way by which we may come to him, and indeed offer praises that are acceptable to him. Let's sing Psalm 66, 1 to 9.
Joy to God, all our chorus sing. Sing round the honor of his name, and glorious make his praise. Speak us to God. So
Take a few minutes, especially with the children, and I wonder if any of the young people can tell us what a herald is. A herald. Hopefully that's clear enough. There's an R in the middle of it. There's an L before the D. Not Herod, like King Herod, but what's a herald? Does anyone know? Maybe I can talk about, and if you were anywhere near on the village day when we had the stall down in the churchyard, if you were around, just now and again you might have seen a man walking along, perhaps a little bit like this one. No, a bit like this one. He had a bell in his hand. He didn't have a piece of paper. This one does. That one doesn't. The one that was around here was, does anyone know what these guys are called? What do they call them these days in England? They call them a town crier. Someone who goes into the town. I discovered one. I couldn't find a picture of him. I discovered one in Colchester whose name is Mr. Needham, but not our Mr. Needham. So I thought that was quite interesting. But the town somewhere or other often has, little towns at least, have one of these. Around the town crier. See, he's got his mouth wide open and he's saying something. He's ringing the bell to get everyone to listen to what he has to say. Well, this is a herald, and there's one who's got something to read, an announcement to read, and that's what a herald is. And that's why all around the world you get, like in Glasgow, you've got the Herald newspaper. In Sydney, you've got the Sydney Morning Herald. In Surrey, you've got the Surrey Herald. I'm not showing you the rest of it. It's not a very nice headline. But the Herald, it's a newspaper. It's a way of telling the news. That's what the town crier is. That's what the Herald would be telling. And especially a Herald would tell the news that the king is coming. Or something else very important. And that's such an important part of the work of the angels. They are messengers. They have a message. They have news to bring. I want to talk about the angels a little bit more this morning. But think about this town crier. What's most important about him? Is it him? What's the most important thing that he about this person? What makes him important? It's the news that he has to tell. And it's usually about the king, like in the old days, it was about the king coming. It was about the king he was talking about. And as soon as the king came, this man would drop away. You wouldn't see him. His work was done. Everyone had to pay attention to the great person who was coming. And that was the thing with the angels. The thing about this newspaper, this is going in the recycling tomorrow. But the news might stick. It's the news that's important. And even more when it comes to the angels. The news that they tell. And I think you know. I can see quite a bit of red around this morning. I think you know why we're talking about the angels. It's about someone else. It's not them. It's about someone else. Whenever you think about them at the time of Christmas, perhaps you'll see one on a Christmas tree somewhere. It's not about them. It's about the news they have to bring. The person that they're telling you about. They're announcing him. So I'm going to talk a bit more about that along the way. But can any of you tell me, just before we finish, can any of you tell me who the angels were talking about at Christmas? What was the news that they were telling? You want to put your hand up, someone? Alicia? Yeah, it's about Jesus, wasn't it? He's the one that really matters. So let's go on. We'll think about him some more this morning. Thank you. Now let's turn to one of those great chapters telling us of Jesus where the angels do appear, reading in the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 2, the Gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, from the beginning. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And reading just so far in this gospel account, seeking God's blessing further on his word. Let us again turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. We pray, O Lord our God, for your word as we hear it this morning, that it will be that seed that falls on good ground, that our hearts will be prepared, that our hearts will be thirsty and eager. And as we have read, that we would rejoice in the giving of your Son, who humbled himself, taking on him the form of a servant, not to be known as the Son of God except for this pronouncement and others like it. We do return with the angels that praise of your name, and that the glory should be yours. We thank you, Lord, for the peace that you send in him. We pray that we might know it, that we might exercise it, that we might turn all other things aside and find our hope in your goodwill towards us. We pray, Lord, for the world around us as Christmas looms large, that it would be the lifting of the veil, that this would be seen by many, to stop and to consider what it does mean that the Christ was born, that your promise is fulfilled, a king forever on the throne of David. In him, all your promises, yes and amen. That he came and was born in order to die, Lord, work in us wonder, astonishment at such thought and such knowledge. That once more we might know a burning in our hearts, the application of your word by your Spirit, and that burning that we would live in a way that brings great honor to you. That we too would be as the shepherds who could not restrain themselves, but to make widely known the things that we learn concerning this Christ. We pray for the world in which we live. We know that, we confess, Lord, that very often we think just of ourselves and then of the needs of those nearest to us. We do commend these for your compassion and your upholding and your providing. But especially, Lord, we pray for a needy world that will seek after many things, that will seek after many other gods, but yet you are not far from any one of them. That their ears might be opened, that they might come to know him in whom there is life and hope and love, and put their trust in him. Grant, Lord, your blessing on all who go out to minister this word. We commend you, especially at this time of year, those who are, we call missionaries, who've gone to faraway places, separated from their families. We pray that they might know your nearness, know their fullness in you. They would know that they do a good work. They too, telling the things that they have learned concerning this Christ. We commend to you some in particular. We pray for Adam and his risky work at times. We trust that he has returned safely home to his family. We pray that you would uphold him in that and the time that they have together. We pray for the legacy of those who have gone before, remembering particularly the Patterson family at this time around Scotland, as their father has died this past week. We treasure, Lord, his ministry many years and the impact that his ministry of the gospel has had on so many lives, and through them also on others. We rejoice, O Lord, for such servants, and we give thanks that he is to be found in your presence, singing your praises. Help us each, O Lord, as we do have numerous concerns and burdens that weigh upon our hearts, ailments of the body also. Yet through all of these, that we will know that there is a great life yet awaiting, and that we will be all the more prepared for it, holding fast to our Lord and our confession of him. We thank you that he has come to open the way into your presence, that he has come to stand before us in your sight, ensure that our names might not be blotted from the book of life. Work in each of us, O Lord, that we should put our trust in him and know that confidence that this would be to his great glory. We thank you, Lord, that he is the one who became the altar, the sacrifice, and the priest, setting himself down. And unlike all those things that have gone before, that those who touch him find holiness and acceptance before our God. O Lord, as we go on to hear the word of your messengers, we pray that we might know the great honor that you have done to us, the great provision, and that we would not be at all at risk of despising your work amongst men, and that once more you call us to set our paths by his light, to receive him, to be called the children of God. So do hear us, we ask, Lord, and fill up every lack, even in our prayers, for his interceding for us. We give thanks. And all we ask, Lord, asking that truly you will pardon sin. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Before we open God's word together again, let's sing Psalm 111 on page 150. The tune is not listed there, it's St. Clement. St. Clement, Psalm 111 on page 150. Praise to the Lord, I will extol him while gathering with the upright. Great are the works of God, and pondered by all who in them take delight. And so on through the whole psalm. Let's stand to sing.
Praise to the Lord, I will extol him while gathering with the upright. Great are the works of God, and pondered by all who
all this, all that, all that, all that.
chapter 2, we read of the angel of the Lord who stood before the shepherds in verse 9 and the verses that followed through to the multitude of the heavenly host praising God in verse 13 through to 14. Wonder how many carol services you've been to this year, and if we added them all up, I wonder how many carols you might have sung or listened to, even in passing. I wonder if you've noticed how many of them mention angels. I was at a service the other night in town here, and there were some carols that everyone sang. There were some choir pieces. There were 12 sung items, and of those, 10 of them included mention of angels. And it reflects, of course, the gospel account of the coming of Jesus. I think, too, it catches the imagination. Angels are, perhaps for many of us, a bit of a puzzle. They appear, then they disappear. Do we know of them active in our own day? Certainly, when you read the early gospel accounts, the early accounts regarding the birth of our Lord Jesus, they were very important characters, very important features, particularly because of what they indicate regarding this Jesus whom they did announce. I'm not doing a study on angels, just what we learn as they appear around the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, that first appearing of Christ the Lord. I want to just draw your attention, need to be brief this morning, to just what it was that the angels did. But what was meant by all of these angels, various accounts that we have, and this is just one of them. And then also to consider what the angels want or wanted in that work that they did. What were they aiming for themselves? So first of all then, what the angels did, and this is, you might say, just simply recounting and gathering together the various incidents that are very clearly stated to involve the angels around the coming of Jesus. The first you'll find back in chapter 1 of Luke, and it's the announcement of John's birth to the priest Zacharias. You might remember this story. These are stories that many people are familiar with. But there Zacharias was working in the temple, and we read in chapter 1, verse 11, an angel of the Lord appeared to him beside the altar of incense. And then the angel spoke to him from there on, from verse 13 onwards, announcing that they would have a child. Unexpected, Zacharias and Elizabeth, his wife, were older folk and had not had a child. This was going to be God's work, providing a son, John, who was himself to become a herald, a messenger, announcing Jesus. And then, further on in chapter 1, in verse 26, in the sixth month of after that event, the angel Gabriel was sent to Mary. And then, further on, he had words to speak. Very precise words, very detailed, and something utterly exceptional. The explanation, this is one of the great passages through which we learn of the incarnation, how it came about, conceived by the Holy Spirit, we confess, we testify, born of the Virgin Mary. And so the angel announced that in great detail, and telling her that he should be called Jesus, and that he would be called the Son of the Highest. Matthew then tells us in Matthew chapter 1 that not of the angel coming to Mary, but an angel coming to Joseph to say go ahead and marry Mary. The child that is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, in verse 20. And he too was told by the angel that the child's name should be Jesus. And it's then that we come after that. Those were the three previous occasions that the angels appeared, and then we come to Luke chapter 2 and what we have just read, where the angel, first of all, one angel appeared to the shepherds to announce the Christ the Lord, Christ or the Messiah. This Messiah that the nation had been expecting, you'll find him, he's a baby, wrapped up in cloths, utterly helpless, lying in a manger in poverty. Christ the Lord. First there was one, and then he was surrounded, we are told, by a multitude of the heavenly host, which also must be angels. Very often you'll also hear referred to in Matthew chapter 2 is the time after Jesus was born, and the wise men made their journey, and Joseph was the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. We don't know that that was an angel. It is very possible it was, but we don't know that for sure. Joseph was there warned of the danger at the hands of Herod, and then a little later on warned and told of the safety to return. We might also it's particularly the dream of the wise men had when they were divinely warned in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 2. It's when Joseph was told that it was safe to return, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. So there is that connection as well. But it's particularly these few incidents where the angels appeared. It's a few perhaps, but it's far more than any other announcement that had to be made. You know of an angel announced that Samson was to be born and all that went with him. One angel. With Jesus, we have at least five instances. In those cases, and in the last ones where Jesus was in danger, the angels were involved in the work of protecting Jesus. It's a connection, I think, with Revelation chapter 12, where we read of the woman who was going to give birth, and the dragon was poised right there to devour the child as soon as he was born. But God intervened and swept him away and kept him safe. But primarily the angels are involved here with announcement, with announcing this coming child. And as I said with the children earlier, the herald, the news, the work is not to draw attention to themselves, but to Jesus. They have a task which is to speak, to give a message. It was a necessary message, or they were necessary to give such a message, because it was so remarkably different from anything else. It was to drive home the importance of the detail. But remember, when you talk about a messenger, they're defined by their very message. That is who they are. That is what defines them. That's what shows them to be what they are. That's their purpose in life. Their witness. You see that of the angels in that great scene in Isaiah chapter 6, as they surrounded the throne of God in his glory, and what they were most occupied with was praising his name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You see that in Revelation, where the angels appear frequently around the throne, praising God. That's their task, their great task. And so the angels do appear from time to time in different places through the Bible, but rarely so many together. It highlights the significance of this event. And that's the next thing to say is to dwell for a moment on the significance of all of these instances just focused in such close proximity. If you were to put the dates together, it would be within a year. Yes, it does cover a little period of time, but not much in the larger scale of things. but you have a great many of them all together, drawing our attention to something. Let's say, for example, if you were going on a day out in London, and you were going, somewhere like St. Paul's or your Green Park or somewhere like that, and you're walking along and then you hear this blaring of sirens, and you realize it's not just one vehicle, but there must be more. You look around and you see this motorcade coming, and there's police outriders on their motorcycles and their cars and so on, and you think, someone's important. Where do you look? Unless you're a little boy, you don't look at the police motorbikes. You're looking beyond to see who's in the middle car. Who's there? Who's important? Why are they doing all this? The greater the number of outriders, the more important the person is likely to be. All of these angels together, and the glory of God around them, and the multitude of the heavenly hosts, to mere shepherds, almost the discards of society, praising God, glory to God in the highest, at this point, connected with this birth, this baby, must be important. That's what it means, that all of these angels together, it's fair enough that 10 out of 12 choral items at this time of year mention the angels. The angels have appeared in the past. It's not a full study on angels by any means, but in this context, we remember how they were present at the very important junctures, the turning points. One, for example, is at the giving of the law. And when we read the giving of the law through Moses at Sinai, perhaps we don't think of the angels. But Stephen did when he told the story before the council in Acts chapter 7. The writer to the Hebrews speaks of the angels as the ones through whom the law was given in Hebrews chapter 2. Acts chapter 7, verse 38, also down in verse 53, Stephen mentions it. Now we move on. We also see them at the resurrection. They were there to tell the disciples, he's not here, he's risen. And Revelation tells us, and as you look at that as a telling of the course of history, it tells you how the angels took they served with great power at those crucial points in world history. And so many of them together, surely this was a major moment in the story of man. So many of them, pointing to one child. Let's pay attention to him. They announced that he is the Lord, Christ, the Lord. They announced that he was the King. He would be called the Most High. You see it in the terms that they used, the words that they conveyed. You see it too that there were so many of them commissioned. It was an unprecedented flood of angels to appear before men. It was utterly out of the ordinary. Who would take any notice otherwise? Who does? But we are to take notice. The shepherds did. The angel of the Lord stood before them. When the angels had gone, in from verse 15, they said, well, let's now go and see this thing that's happened, that's been made known to us. God has been speaking. It has happened. We go expectantly. They took notice. They accepted. They acknowledged. So did Joseph. He did marry Mary and called his son, the son Jesus. So did Mary. She said, how can these things be? It's completely unexpected, completely out of the ordinary. These things don't happen, but yes, Lord, I'm your servant. It's not acknowledging that the angels are the master, but that this Jesus is at the heart of everything. And that's where I would come then to put the question, what is it that the angels want? What are they about? What's the focus of their attention? And you might say very simply, it is to make sure that they fulfill the service of their God. The carols do get it right mostly. Yes, the angels are often included, but it is a passing reference. The songs are chiefly about this Jesus, the Christ. The angels do not want us to stop at them, not just to be fascinated with these strange creatures that are so different from us. They may well be aware that we are fascinated with them, at least just a bit. But they would have you fascinated by the one that they announce. They want you to turn your attention to the God who is worthy of praise, who does these great things. Let me take you for a moment to Peter in his first letter. He's speaking about our salvation. And he tells how Christ was testified beforehand. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. Christ was testified beforehand with the glories, his sufferings and the glories that would follow. He was talking about the prophets, and it was to revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you. And so on. The things are reported to you, Christ, the gospel of Christ Jesus. And these are things, he concludes at that section, verse 12, these are things which angels desire to look into. What's he mean there? It has the sense of they're inquisitive. They find this a remarkable thing. They want to know how it all works out. They knew the details. Gabriel was able to tell Mary, this child will be conceived by the Holy Spirit, you will give him birth, he will be Jesus, he will be the Christ. They knew a great deal. And they accepted all of that. This was God's word. They took it as read. Most profound things that are beyond our minds. But there is still something that the angels cannot see. They desire to look into these things. They're probing. They're looking around the corner, as it were. Some people would say this looking into is like taking a peek, trying to see around, see a better angle. Can they grasp this thing? They had all the information. And it's about your salvation. Your salvation in Christ. I think what it's saying is the where you might be fascinated by angels, and many are, the angels are fascinated by the relationship between man and God, God and man. This is a remarkable thing. They know in their minds, as it were, how things work. You look at Revelation, John was puzzled about this, that, and the next thing, and the angel was the one who said, this is what it is. He could tell him. But it's as though there's something that the angels look on and say, why is God doing this? Why did God send his son to be this Jesus, this helpless baby? They desire to look into these things. Those events of Christmas are part of this salvation that Peter refers to. Not a word that they spoke was out of place, false. They're fascinated by man's salvation, which means they must be fascinated, intrigued, inquiring after. And I think it comes down to this, and we should be asking ourselves the same question. Why did God do it? I don't deserve it. Why? You might say that's what the angels want. They want to understand. They desire to look into these things. Well, if that's the way the angels are about this saving work in Christ, shouldn't he fascinate you too? When all the crowds gather at churches on tomorrow night and Sunday, and they sing about the angels, hark, the herald angels sing. glory to the newborn King. Will they ask? Let's pray that they ask. Let's try praying that they ask. Why did he do this? Why did he bother? The angels were there. It was an angel who swept that fiery sword at the garden to keep man out. They saw man fall. They saw man defy their God. And now they see God defining himself as a man. Where is our devotion? Not just to discover the wonderful scheme of theology, but to discover whatever it was that possessed God to send his Son. To discover what kind of heart God has. The Apostle John, when he wrote, he said, "We love him because he first loved us." That's his love. Glory to God in the highest. Look at his love. Look at the love with which he loved them. The very Son of God, wrapped up in the body of a baby. When we do come to Christmas, as we call it, the angels should be there. You can't do without them. You might just imagine a nativity play without all the little fluffs of white and gold. They have to be there. But why? They're not the main object of attention. They're there because the greatest of all was approaching. The greatest of all had arrived on earth. The greatest of all was amongst men. His goodwill towards us. Without them, we would have gone about our business. Who would have noticed this baby? None would have been the wiser, none would have been interested. But with them, we're meant to ask, who is this child? And what is this heart of God? And for all that they still had things to discover, still they were desiring to look into these things. Yet they knew that there was worship and praise called for. They worshipped God for this child. They worshipped God because of what they did know. They worshipped God because he had found a way to present peace, to make peace, to bring about peace between God and man. We listen to them again today. The heavenly host praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it's a call to you and to me too, to give those same words of praise and a life of praise. And that great work of praise to receive this one whom he sent. On this basis, I do wish you a truly happy Christmas, to be blessed looking into these things, because he will be found. So far, may God set his blessing on his word. Let us pray together. Whether it be ourselves, O Lord, or those many people around us, and in whatever situation we find ourselves in these coming days, we pray that these words of the angels and their very presence will draw us up short of all the other matters that absorb our attention. We might be especially mindful, Lord, of many in our own country who have had their lives disturbed so much by recent flooding. We commend them for your care, and those whose homes have been devastated and may have no inclination or opportunity to, as we call it, celebrate Christmas. We pray yet that there would be the word of your Spirit would fall upon their aching hearts, their minds in turmoil. We pray that you will assure them of peace to be found with you. We pray for every effort that is made to hold this back, and especially with the potential for further downpours. We pray, Lord, that you would enable those who are in a position to achieve something, that they will have wisdom in doing so. But we remember too that there are many who flourish, for whom hardship seems to be something unknown. We pray that there too there would be a drawing up short, that again this word would penetrate, and they would reflect on your call upon their lives, that it is in you that they have hope, in Christ Jesus. It is to you that praise belongs. We ask, Lord God, too, for our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world who would also remember this particular time and may be especially vulnerable, for those who have been persecuting them and may continue to do so. The news of Pastor Jay in Kurdistan that we've heard of, we pray for him as he has received a sentence of a couple of years. We pray for him and his family as they seek to grasp the meaning of this. We pray that they might find their hope and comfort in you as well. We pray too for areas of conflict around the world where this peace is so needed, but where there will be no peace amongst men, between men, if there is no peace with God. May that be found, O Lord. Again, may there be an awakening and a startling, even as there was of the shepherds in their ordinary course of life, that you came to them and made known to them your salvation in this coming of the Christ. Lord, now do go before us. Watch, keep a watch over our lives and also our hearts, our minds, our tongues, that in all things the praises will be yours. We pray these things for Jesus' sake, that in him you would accept us, pardoning sin, unto your great glory. Amen. The closing praise is in Psalm 103 on page 136, the last two stanzas of the psalm. From verse 15, it's on page 136, Psalm 103 from verse 15. Each human life is like the grass, and like a meadow flower it grows. Its place will never be recalled. Once over it the tempest blows. But everlasting is God's love for those who fear him and their seed, for those who keep his covenant and carefully his precepts heed. And so on. Angels are also called on here to praise the Lord with us. Psalm 103 from 15 to the end. Let's stand to sing together.
Each human life is like a grass, and like a meadow flower it grows. Its place will never be recalled. Once over it the tempest blows. Thank you.
To him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. To God alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.